Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy.
This is Another Money Show. Get set for another hour of the latest financial information and economic news affecting your bottom line. JR and Anthony are committed to helping more Americans like you optimize their income, reduce their tax risk, and reach financial freedom. So let's start the show. Here are your hosts, Anthony Correo and JR Rochford.
Here we are, your hosts, Anthony Correo, JR Rochford. That's right, I'm back. No more just having to listen to JR rant and rave and get off topic. The adult is in the room. So we are taking a break from our day-to-day as financial advisors with Rochford & Associates, fully independent, fourth-generation family practice right here in the greater Phoenix area to bring you information you may not find on those other radio shows. We are aware that the last thing you need is another money show, but we appreciate you here to listen to our Another Money Show. How are you doing, JR? Did you miss me?
I'm doing well. It was unbelievable. I mean, the reason that the show was kind of a little bit rough, and by the way, I mean, I didn't rant and rave at all. I tried to make sure I stayed calm and adult-like, so because I didn't want to hear it from you when you got back.
I listened to those episodes. I was so sad.
They were pretty good, though, weren't they?
Where's your enthusiasm? Where's your energy?
It's right here. I'll show you. So, well, welcome back. You know, your intro, that's quite a mouthful. We're a fourth generation, fully independent family practice. You forgot to add veteran owned. So, and I think you should join the military. So when I kick it, like if I have a stroke today, I think you should be able to continue saying veteran owned. So I'm just throwing it out there.
When China invades Taiwan, maybe I'll get drafted.
That's actually not going to be for weeks.
Do you see that article? It said 77% of draftable aged Americans cannot be enter the army because of drug use or mental illness or disabilities. 77% of us usually. Oh yeah.
Don't forget obesity. Yeah. You know, our country, our country is very much a lot of why we took this whole thing on was to sound alarms. The country is very asleep. I mean, no offense because I am one of them in the country. We are just, it's instant gratification. We're overweight. You know, we expect things instantly. We don't take the time to research and study. It's scary. I mean, when you look at the education system in China, Japan, some other countries that are surpassing us right now, you know, they take stuff seriously. You know, we've talked about TikTok the last couple of weeks and the Restrict Act and the potential of banning it. You know, it's funny. They have a different version of TikTok in Asia. They show educational videos. They don't show puppies in bikinis dancing. You know, it's a different world over there. So, and you know, what will it take for us to wake up? You bring up Taiwan, we jump right into it. You know, there's the 10th pillar, the geopolitical influences. You know, we told you, or actually it was before the show, but we told clients, Russia's not messing around. They're not setting up equipment and troops on the Ukraine border just to show strength. A lot of people don't do that. You know, North Korea does. I mean, they have parades where they show nuclear capabilities just to show how relevant they are.
Not doing anything.
Well, and Russia is not that way. Neither is China. And I believe that we're seeing through the demise of our world reserve currency on a bunch of fronts, I think we're seeing most of the world has tired of the United States and our sloth-like behavior. So, you know, we told people that Russia is definitely going to invade Ukraine. I'm telling you now, and this is a way bigger one. This is going to make Russia and Ukraine look puny. I believe China is going to take over Taiwan. I think it's imminent. You know, they talked last summer about October for the invasion because the weather was optimal. So, you know, is it going to wait until this fall, September, October? I don't know. I mean, it's certainly the news I've read this past week. It certainly looks like it may not wait. So, and what are we going to do? You know, you were in Ireland for the last, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks. Your commander in chief, Joseph R. Biden, he's there today. He's in Dublin.
Yeah, I saw those articles about them anticipating him coming out.
And I have noticed I never see the two of you together. So I've, you know, you were in the United States a couple of weeks ago. you know, and then I don't know where he was. I mean, he was napping, but anyway, so you were in Ireland and he was here, and now he's in Ireland and you're here. So I'm just saying there's a lot of weirdness going on between you and the commander in chief, but he's there. You know, I made fun of Harris a little bit a couple weeks ago, and I know it's not a political show. This is it's just right is right, wrong is wrong. We have issues in this country, and we're going to point some of them out today as usual. So I made fun of the fact that Harris was in Africa, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. It's great that we are extending our olive branch to other nations. We're building other nations. That's great. You know, we have problems here at home, and I don't think she should have been there. Maybe in the future when we get our financial house in order, that's my priority. Maybe
she ever visit the border?
No, of course not. Well, she's the border czar, so no. I mean, why would she? It's called delegation, Anthony. You have other people. Wait, they haven't visited either. Never mind. So no, the borders are open, and that's still going to become problematic. It's not yet. People don't feel the effects yet. They're going to eventually. How did the millionaire go broke? Real slowly. And then all of a sudden. So
well,
I don't
nobody
think
feels the effects of the failing banks yet either. I mean, that blew my mind. I'm watching the market as I'm overseas trying to enjoy my vacation. It goes up, it goes up, it goes up. Is it because the Fed set a precedent that, oh, we're going to bail out everything that's not FDIC insured? I mean, yes. Didn't they do that? They did that for the very first bank that failed. Was it Goldman Sachs in 2008? And then they let Lehman Brothers fall right behind it. Was
well,
that
yeah.
the,
and
the order
too
of
big to fail? You know, I keep bringing up too big to fail. To me, it's like the problem now is too small to fail. And I disagree. Let them all fail. Let's bring capitalism back to this country and see if we sink or swim. We're sinking now. But anyway, my point about Biden was don't be in Ireland right now. Be here. When we have no problems, I've thought with foreign aid for years. You know, I know we're always the world's police. When I look at the compassionate Christian side of my nature, I think we need to help people. That's you know, what we should do. And then I also think we need to help ourselves first. We are failing. So if we give aid to 150 out of 190 countries, you know, that's great if we have the money. We don't. So stop. And some of them, Iran, you know, death to Israel, death to US, Pakistan, you know, these nations that we give money to, they're not always friendly toward us, but I don't know why we do it. You know, I mean, I believe the Reagan theory, peace through strength, not the other way. We don't need to buy friends. So I say Harris and Biden, stay here for a while. You know, stay here. Do your Easter egg roll or whatever you did.
Why, they're not doing anything here either. They're not doing anything productive. So what's it matter?
Have you heard
what's
the term
optic? I mean, you're just picking things to be mad about.
That's what I do. Thank you for finally noticing what I do for a living. That's my entire life is looking for stuff to be upset about. You know, you said something about your mom and me. You coupled us together. You said, as soon as you have nothing to worry about, you'll find something new. Do you remember saying that?
Oh, yeah. That was recently.
Yeah. Yes, it was very recently. It was right before you went to Ireland. So, no, and it's so true. You know, we are very much, you know, nobody likes to be bored. So for me,
yeah,
pointing out what's wrong.
Taking your own advice, right? We talk about setting a foundation, getting out of debt, having income, food, water. And then after that, you know, you don't get to control the narrative. Everything just happens.
And that's what I'm doing.
That's why I'm so calm and peaceful all the time. Because I listen to my own advice. You're just out there yelling and screaming.
I'm not on the inside. I think you have IBS. I think you have irritable bowel syndrome. I think you have all kinds of issues on the inside. One day you're going to explode. So,
probably.
But let's get some, financial stuff. Why don't we do this? Let's talk a little bit. You know, our whole thing in life is we want you prepared, not scared. We want you proactive, not reactive. But, you know, today let's talk about some of the issues and let's talk about what to do with it. I actually brought some interest rates in with me to talk about. I want to give solutions today. You know, I mean, the last couple of weeks we're quiet. I mean, we definitely needed two of us to offset each other. You know, we ask people we want you to prepare for chaos and uncertainty. We want you to prepare for bank volatility with cash. We want you to prepare for uncertainty with food and water for your family. Now, today, we want to ask you to prepare for economic chaos. You know, we want you to insure and protect your assets with a smart plan. So that's part of what we want to talk about today. You know, I do. We have plenty to talk about. You know, we already hit Taiwan. You know, our whole thing in life is if you do everything and you've hit it with me and your mom, you've hit it with the clients, get your foundation, and then you have the luxury, like I do, of finding stuff to worry about because everything important is covered. So the day that there's nothing left for me to worry about, then I'm good. I can relax and chill. You know, I'm almost 60. You know that. So at this point in my life, am I ever going to relax and chill? Probably not. mean, probably
is that
not
a luxury that you have, a luxury to find things to worry about. That's hilarious. That's the clip of probably the entire year. That's the funniest thing you've said, because it's so perfect. It's so true.
It's so true. I mean, so, all right, now that you got me off track and distracted, quick shout out. I want to make a quick shout out. We have been doing the show for over a year. I think this is the 54th or 55th episode. We've had some questions. We've had people that you know, want answers of the phone. We've had emails. We've had appointments. We've got a couple coming in next week, and they heard the show. I love it when people call us in the office and don't just email or set up an appointment, because you get to chat. And anybody that disagrees with what we're saying, they're not going to call. They're not going to email. I get that. They're not even going to listen unless they're listening.
I wish they would, though. I'd appreciate that conversation.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, you were on the phone for what? I mean, at least a half an hour this week.
Yeah.
And they're coming in next week. It's funny because this show is about sounding alarms and waking people up. But when you talked, you know, you're already on the same page. So the man you talked to, he and his wife are coming in with their financial statements next week. You're already on the same page. So now it's like, how do we fine tune your situation? As I always say, one person, one couple, one family at a time, how do we better your situation? And that's what we're doing next week with these people. I just want to throw it out there. I want more people to sit down with us. I want you to hear that it's not just all of my tinfoil hat craziness and looking for stuff to be worried about. We actually still can talk to you about.
Yeah, we don't let JR in appointments so they don't get sidetracked.
They actually let me sit outside, and it's getting too warm out now. So this kind of sucks. Anthony's got a folding chair right behind the office, and I have to sit out there whenever somebody's in the office. It's kind of embarrassing. Once in a while, he brings me in. He's like, go get the gimp. And I come in, and yeah, it's ugly. So back to where were we? Frank's Honest Auto. I want to talk for 1 second about Frank's Honest Auto. You know, we always try to support people that support us and local people. And yesterday we saw Mike at Frank's. He listens to the show every Monday morning. And it's so funny because, he's very level-headed, very grounded. And I don't know how to explain it. He's young. I feel so bad for what he's going to see because he's super young. Like you and Jim. I mean, I'm old. I've seen what I've seen. I've done what I can do. You know, I'm not going to be surprised, but whatever comes our way. And I actually think as soon as this summer, you know, but I look at younger people.
You're surprised because you're always calling it. I mean, how long have we been talking about the CBDC and, you know, the Fed now being released a couple weeks ago, and people still don't understand that?
Well, you've been in the office 5 years this summer, and when you first got here, I was explaining to you, you better watch. I mean, you know, I told you about the DIF, you know, the FDIC's Deposit Insurance Fund. Speaking of which, I mean, I just heard, I haven't gotten the proof yet. I heard last week that now the insurance fund on your covered accounts, meaning under 250,000, dropped below 1%. And I was saying it was 1.23%. They do the numbers that, you know, we got the 22 year end numbers. We haven't seen the first quarter numbers yet, but I heard it went under 1%.
But at the end of the day, what's it matter?
It doesn't matter.
They already set a precedence where SVB fails. Only 5% of their assets are covered FDIC insurance. And the Fed's like, we're going to bail it out. They call it a new name. I don't remember what they called it, but it's a bailout. It's a bailout by another name. Oh, we're not doing bail. Yeah, you are. Of course you are.
I'm not worried about the bailouts. We have no money. We're $31 trillion in the hole. So we have no money. So what exactly are you bailing it out with? And by the way, I did hear a couple.
Obviously.
Thoughts and prayers. Welcome to Thoughts and Prayers Financial Services. This is Anthony. Welcome to Doomsday Preppers. This is JR. So I heard, a couple of interviews, different people. It just makes me laugh. Biden was one of them. They said, it's not going to cost the taxpayer any money. How do you figure? Let's say that you can make a good argument or good case for the fact that really the banks that are members of the FDIC, they pay a fee. So that's where that whatever money it is, the billions of dollars covering trillions of assets. So the banks pay a fee. All right, I got a question for you. How do the banks get their money? Like, let's say the taxpayer is not on the hook for bailing out Mark Cuban and his millions of dollars. So where do you think the banks get their money to be paying the FDIC? Me, when I bounce checks, my non-sufficient fund fees, when I pay my credit card at 21% interest, that's where they get the money. So it is me, whether it's directly or indirectly. But don't tell me they had enough money in that coffer to bail out SVB and then Regent Bank and whatever other banks are going south. And you think when there's a run on the banks, they're going to have enough money left over to cover me? No. Nope, it's the haves versus the have-nots. Once again, they had to bail out that bank because it was very influential people. It was businesses. It was the wealthy folk. And they're all
a lot of politicians, too, that had accounts there.
Correct. Yep. I mean, it's so easy to see. And why most people can't see it, I'm not really sure. And by the way, I mean, I'm going to say it again this week. I know people are tired of me saying the word bank. It's still on the table, kids. If I were you, I would go close your safe deposit box, feed a little money into the economy, go to Bass Pro Shop. We're looking for sponsors, guys, by the way, and buy a good fireproof safe, bolt it to your non-post-tension slab, put your cash at home, put some cash at home, put grandma's ring at home, whatever you have. Still, grab some cash. These banks are in deep you-know-what. Act accordingly. It's going to be first come, first serve. So,
and you can't walk away from banks completely. I mean, obviously they're necessary.
No, I don't mean that.
Because they've forced you. But I feel if you don't physically have something, you don't really have it at all. So have a little safety net. Have a little cash at home. You don't have to go crazy with it and pull everything and have hundreds of thousands of dollars and cash out your investments and things like that. But just have something for when that time comes.
Because you know what that is? That's diversification. Have some money in the bank, have some real estate, have some stocks and bonds, have whatever makes you diversified and comfortable. So, but if you have, depending on your net worth, if you have, you know, 10,000 in the bank, good. You need that to pay your mortgage and your insurance and your taxes and all that stuff. If you have 50,000 in the bank and you're not seeing what's going on, you need us. Let us talk to you. You know, we have solutions too. You know, when I brought up I brought interest rates today, I have to be very careful. I'm not going to mention any company names. I'm going to let you know that I'm giving you these rates on the 12th of April. When you hear this, it'll be a few days later, but we have amazing rates on really short term money. You know, for 15 years, they got rid of anything under 3 years for us. In other words, when we represent insurance companies, it had to be 3 years or longer that we'd have the money just to make any interest and have the companies be able to make it. And now all of a sudden we've got 2 year and 1 year accounts, and it works just like a CD. You put $100,000 into this 1 year product. 1 year later, you have a 30-day window. You can roll it over for another year. You can pull the money out. You can take part of it out. You can do whatever you want. You can turn it into an income stream. Your big passion in life is money you can never outlive. There it is. You can turn that into a pension later if you don't think you'll ever need the money. So the rates I'm looking at right now, if you put in between $5,000, and it's not meant to work like a bank. There's no checking account with it. You can't put in $250. Actually, there are some companies. You know, we found one company that does have very low minimums, but it's. But so this company, $5,000 and up, 4.3%. 4.3%. And I know some of these banks, all of a sudden you're seeing CDs for like 5%. You're seeing these checking accounts, you know, paying interest. You told me about one yesterday, Anthony, where it's a checking account paying interest. You know why we're seeing these amazing rates of the banks? Because they have to. People like me are pulling our money out. They're saying, well, where else are you going to get 5% on liquid money? Well, you're not. We can get you 4% though at an insurance company with guarantees and reserves. You know why I want you to get 4% or 5%? You what?
I said I mentioned tax deferred too, because your bank CDs, unless you're putting in IRA, if it's non-qualified bank money, it's not tax deferred. So you're not actually making whatever interest rate they're saying. But with that these MIGAs, they do get to tax defer your non-qualified money, which is an added bonus.
Yes. And MIGA meaning multi-year guaranteed annuity. Ooh, he said the A word. You know, annuities are good and bad. Let us educate you on which ones to avoid and which ones are good. But a 1 year, I'm not really worried about the 1099 because it's 1 year. So if you pull it in 1 year, whether it's a CD or a, you know, insurance product, my biggest reason why I would steer people away from 5% and down to 4%, get out of the banks. So that's the reason. And annuities are retirement vehicles. So let's say you're only 26 years of age. And I told you, you know, I can get you 4% versus 5%. We go to an insurance company, but when you pull your money out, you have to pay taxes on the growth. So let's say you make $4,000. You have to pay taxes on that, whether it's a CD or an insurance product. In addition, on the fixed annuity, the MYGA, you have to pay a 10% penalty if you're under 59 and a half. So we, you know, full disclosure, we have to tell you the whole picture.
On the growth, though.
On just the growth. So instead of paying taxes on the $4,000, you're going to pay taxes and another $400. The interest rates are still really high. So it's really not a bad way to go, perhaps even for a younger person. None of that is the reason that I'm shouting from the rooftops about these short-term fixed products. It's because I think we're heading towards a bail-in. I think they are going to freeze your assets at the bank. Can I be more clear on what I think is coming? Yes, that will lead to a stock market correction. Hopefully the Teflon Dow may finally fall. Who knows? You know, a housing market. You know, how's the housing market staying up? We talked about that yesterday because low inventory. There's reasons. You know, people can't sell a house. They got a 2.5% or 3%, you know, fixed mortgage on. They can't sell it. Go into a new one where it's, you know, 6%. So a lot of this is captivity on the housing market. That could change if things get weird. But I'm thinking there's going to be a bail-in. Right now we're in the FedNow training wheels. We're ramping up for FedNow. You know, we got to keep talking about that because for some reason there's people that don't know about it. You know, we bring up UCC and, you know, Executive Order 14067, the Restrict Act, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act. We have all this stuff we're trying to tell you to look into. So FedNow is live, you know, Discover Bank, Wells Fargo. Oddly enough, the same people that the day before Thanksgiving started a parallel universe testing the CBDC are going to be administrating in part of FedNow all of a sudden. And then by July 1st, when it actually launches all the way, they want all financial transactions to go through this. Well, why? And I'm reading articles now saying, calm down, people. This is not the CBDC. This is not the replacement of the dollar. It's so we can have instantaneous transactions. You know what an instantaneous transaction is? Hand me cash. Then it goes from you to me instantly. It's funny how that works. Hang on to your cash, people. You know, it's time that you tell the government they work for you. You know what else is fairly instantaneous? Wire money to my account. Pay your bank or credit union $15 for what? I don't know. Somebody pushed a keystroke on a computer, but wire money to me. That's pretty instantaneous. Send me money via, what is it? Zelle, Venmo. You guys are young. I don't do any of that stuff. I don't even have a debit card. I don't have an ATM card. I'm old school. You know, I mean, I just don't want to be tempted to have money that liquid for me, but this FedNow thing, no, it is not the CBDC. I'll tell you what though. If you look up blockchain and then put on top of that FedNow and then put on top of that a new currency, it all works together nicely. So I think it is the wave of the future, and the future's coming this summer. So let's see what happens. We saw an interesting article, another shout out to Michael C. I guess every week there's going to be a shout out to Michael C. in Sun City because he is our number one news source now. My news source used to be late night. You know, going through articles, my favorites are always Zero Hedge. I go to YouTube, you know, I listen to Joe Jaquint, Goshen Prepping. I have all these people that are my go-tos if I want honest news. So right now, our number one news source is Michael C. in Sun City. And he gave us an article about, it had the transcript attached. It was the interview with Jamie Dimon from a week ago. And he's talking about Chase Banks. He was at the grand opening or something for his 16th brand new bank, but it's called a community bank. Anthony, are you familiar with this? I think you read the article.
Yeah, too. I read the article. I'm confused on how a community bank is any different than a regular Chase bank.
Thank you. Perhaps there's no need for a Chase bank a mile away from a community bank. Perhaps. But don't forget the CBDC and all this stuff. It's going to tie in with underserved communities and equity. There's a lot of words in some of these programs. It's about distribution of wealth. I'm not going to say the word socialism because I don't want to get banned from the airwaves. It's, you know, a community bank. You know, don't forget there's community organizers in Chicago. You know, there's a lot of things to look up. When I hear the word community, I don't always think that that something is not wrong.
Well,
you know,
it doesn't. Everything about that article and his interview just doesn't really make sense. But we're going to talk a lot more about that in the next segment. We got to go to break. In the meantime, again, reach out to us with your questions, concerns, anything you got. If you want to send us articles you want us to talk about on air, reach out at team@anothermoneyshow.com. Check us out on the web, anothermoneyshow.com. You can schedule appointments. You can contact us through that. You can also listen to past episodes. Check out Another Money Show wherever you like and subscribe to podcasts, or find it directly on our website. But with that, we will be right back talking more about the banks. JR is going to rant on, I don't know, probably just the banks. That's our topic for the last few weeks. But it was our topic before the banks started failing because we knew it was coming. We saw it coming, and you heard it here first. So we'll be right back.
This is Another Money Show, except this one's different. This one's actually fun. At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
If inflation and living expenses are putting more of a financial strain on your bottom line, it may be time to explore canceling those unnecessary subscriptions. I'm Jim Tarabocchia with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. In recent years, streaming and subscription services have dominated the digital space. According to a survey done by Chase Bank in February of last year, the study found that a whopping 71% of Americans waste over $50 a month on unwanted subscription fees, and it's becoming increasingly harder to cancel these subscriptions. Meanwhile, the Federal Trade Commission proposed a provision back in March targeting the struggles of customers to cancel their unwanted subscription payment plans. Under this new proposal titled Click to Cancel, the sellers would face a requirement to make subscription cancellations as simple and as straightforward as possible. Axios technology reporter Ashley Gold was a guest recently on CBS News Money Watch to break down this new proposal.
Those little prompts you see that are like, are you sure you want to cancel? We can offer you this deal. We can offer you that deal. Or to cancel, you actually have to call us between these business hours, or to cancel, right, you have to show up in person and tell us why. None of that's going to be allowed anymore. If what the FTC wants to do passes in its final form.
So in the meantime, how can you keep your subscription prices from slashing further into your own personal bottom line? Review all of your monthly subscriptions from every sector, on every device, and cancel the ones you don't need. Useful tools like Rocket Money and Pocket Guard can help you track down these unwanted subscriptions and clear them from your monthly expenses. Cutting back on your monthly subscriptions, it's an important factor to consider, and it's part of our 23 retirement cost cutters of 2023. For the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Jim Tarabocchia.
Another weekend, another money show. Visit anothermoneyshow.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Another Money Show. Anthony Correo, J.R. Rochford, and we are talking about Jamie Dimon expanding Chase into the communities because there are obviously not enough Chase branches out there. Well, it's funny. I still don't know what they're trying to accomplish with this outside of imposing a fake community feel. I mean, we're talking about the $1.5 trillion in commercial property where they're going to reevaluate their loans coming up soon over the next 2 years. And in that article was saying that most of these loans are coming from smaller, mid-sized regional banks. They're not coming from Chase, Wells, B of A. However, with these run on the banks with people moving their money because they're fearful now with SVB falling that these smaller banks aren't going to withstand, you know, the next collapse, and there's getting an influx of Chase and Wells, and now it's them trying to
just hit it market. They're going to get rid of the mom and pop banks, the small credit unions, the regional banks, the community banks, Wells Fargo, Chase, B of A, Discover Bank, some of the big investment banks and credit card companies. That's all they're going to need when FedNow is fully implemented and then the central bank digital currency arrives. They're not going to need, you know, what was my old neighbor, Desert Hills Bank, long gone now, Community Bank of New York, AmTrust. They're not going to need them. They're going to need larger companies to have the holding place for the CBDC through the Fed now on the blockchain, my debit card.
You know, really? I mean, they're just, it's, everything's going to go through the Fed when you've got this central currency. So there's really no reason for any sort of bank.
But the Fed can't even handle the post office. The Fed can't handle tying their shoes. So guess what they're going to do? They're going to use the brilliance of Chase Bank to be the backbone of this system. The Fed, you know, they're either really incompetent. I better be careful. I was going to say they're really incompetent or they're really, really evil. You know, pick your poison. So you know who is good at manipulation? Silver derivatives. Chase. Jamie Dimon, didn't you used to say how Chase and Jamie Dimon had felonies? How do you like having your money at a bank that has felonies? If you had felonies, you'd be in trouble. If Chase Bank,
I can't imagine people would want to go to Rochford and Associates if we've got a rap sheet like that.
Good night. Which we allegedly, quick, add the word allegedly. Good call, Jim.
Well, it's not allegedly. I mean, that's a quick Google search.
Yeah, but allegedly is funny. Allegedly, the word is just funny. Whenever you say anything about anybody, you should say allegedly. You know, we love Frank's Honest Auto. I better not say allegedly there because we really do. Mike, we really do love your establishment. So I don't know why this is so funny to me today. I had 2 weeks of being just kind of under the weather mentally, and now I'm back. I'm back to feeling good. Maybe it's because you're here. How was Ireland? You know, I have a question for you. I think a lot about money, and I think a lot about like down-to-earth money, tipping. You know, a thing that's heavy on my mind lately is tipping. I've noticed at restaurants, you, Anthony, and I are good tippers. Everywhere we go, unless somebody's really crappy as a server, we're really good tippers. We tip like normal people if the server sucks. I mean, you know, 15, 20% if they're really not good. We tip a lot more than that. I know yesterday during our West Valley Men's Networking Happy Hour at Throne, another shout out, Throne, conveniently located on 67th Avenue and Bell. They have another location on the 101 in Olive, I believe. They're great to us. You know, we brought a big group yesterday and they took care of us properly and it was great. They split checks, so it's easier for us when we're ready to go. So I don't know about you, but I tipped about 70%. I mean, it's you know, but you go to restaurants now and it's almost funny because I feel like I tip well. And some of the servers ever since COVID, they don't seem appreciative. I don't know if it's just my imagination. Like if I give a 40% tip on a meal at Firebirds or somewhere that's, you know, higher end than not, that's big money. And
well,
how
would they show appreciation? You're tipping at the end.
Come
of
back
the
and say thank you. Come back and say thank you. Just, you know, that's cool. Cool tip. Like they used to do before COVID. I appreciate that. There used to all be these Christmas miracle stories. You know, the young couple, you know, went to Texas Roadhouse and they tipped 50 or 100%. And the server, you know, would come back and just say, thank you. I appreciate that. Like, notice it. Don't just expect it. I went to pick up a pizza not too long ago at Lou Malnati's. Great pizza, by the way. We're doing a ton of shout outs today. Today's the day to start asking for sponsorships. So I picked up a pizza at Lou Malnati's. It was $50. It, you know, granted, it was the Chicago classic, deep dish, large. I mean, you know, we got toppings, great pizza. But this thing was right under $50. We went to pick it up. Your mom, your sweet little kindergarten teaching mom, now Gen Ed teacher. So we went to pick it up. This thing was almost $50. And then we have to go there and back. So there's gas involved. There's a tip jar by the register. And your mom tips more out of guilt than I do. I'm more a tip. You know, if it's warranted, I'm a good tipper, but it's got to be warranted. Your mom always seems to put a buck or two in tip jars just because they're there. And I don't agree with that. But I'm like, who on earth? This is not a sit down place. We went to the one right on like 75th and Bell or whatever it is. So you don't sit down there. It's pick up the pizza or delivery. And who in the heck is buying a $50 pizza and still thinking that they have to tip these employees? You charge that much for pizza. Pay your employees. Don't put a tip jar on. I'm not going to tip you just because I see the jar. And a lot of people do, apparently, because the thing was stuffed full of money. So I actually took a couple bucks out. I was like, there's too much money in there. So as soon as the woman wasn't working, I looked up at the camera. I'm like, I can do this quickly. And I grabbed a few bucks. So how is tipping in Ireland? Should I stop now about tipping?
It's not really a thing there, especially going to pubs. If you're going and grabbing a beer, it's not expected. I think it's slowly becoming more of a thing for restaurants. Like if you're going down and having a meal. But what I noticed, cause they bring the card processor to you and you just, you know, tap it or insert or whatever, but there's no questions or anything. It's not, hey, do you want to add a 50% tip on top of it? There's nothing you sign. It's literally just the card machine. You tap it and walk up. So unless you tell them to put a tip on there, there's no tip, which really? That I didn't know because I'm so used to, oh, you know, I get a printed receipt. I write it down there or I type into the card machine. So I think I screwed that up a couple of times because I was watching, you know, Ryan and Bethany say, you know, add five on there for you or add 10 on there for you. I think I only went to one place right outside of Edinburgh Castle. There's a Scotch tasting spot. So obviously I stopped there. But the guy was great. So I know.
Did you say stop there or you stay there? Did you make it into a bed
record? They couldn't get you out of there at closing time. From the Scotch facility outside the castle. But that one was, so I remember, you know, he brought me the check and I was like, hey, can you add whatever on there? Cause it's a bar. I figured, you know, that's not normal there. But they actually did have the, you know, press to tip 15, 20, 22%. I gave him whatever the highest was. Cause whoever our server was incredibly knowledgeable about whiskey, very passionate. It was great. Great experience. Probably my favorite part of the trip. But that was the only time I saw where the tip was like in your face. Hey, are you going to tip us? Which I found very interesting.
When you talk about the processing machine, what's cash like there? Is there any commerce in whatever their version of cash is, or is it all digital?
Yeah. We paid cash at a few places. It was so much easier to have a card. I still have a ton of euros floating around somewhere because I took too much out. Nice. But I figured I would pay more in cash places than I did, but it was so much easier to just use a card, especially when you're trying to work out conversions and currencies. And I will say their drinking laws are not what I expected. I thought it would be a lot more fun out there. I think the bars stay open later, but they've got very metered pours and they're like lesser shots than you get here. Yeah. So you're spending $8 at Jameson, which I was like, $8, you know, if you don't take in the conversion factor, it's that's not all that bad, but it's like 2/3 of what a normal shot is here and it's all metered. So I was a little disappointed in that, but then drank more of them. I stimulated their economy.
And yet we stereotype and make so many jokes about the Irish and their drinking. And now it sounds like, you know, not as much drinking going on. I'm kind of sad.
Right. It's now a Yucca Tap Room where I can show up at 6 a.m. and
is that another shout out to the Yucca Tap Room in Tempe? Conveniently located on what? So speaking of going to Tempe, have you noticed the gas prices lately? Like
I the gas came back like and they went up like a dollar, it seemed like, in the 2 weeks I was gone. What happened?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, barrels of oil are hovering around $80. So when they were up at what, 125 or whatever a couple years ago, that made more sense. You know, Saudi Arabia is working with the yuan, they're building a refinery in China. They said they're gonna lower output. You know, OPEC is gonna lower their output. So all these influences, but the oil barrels aren't really changing that much. So I don't know. You know, I would say it's not even summer yet. So when we get the summer blend and the driving season, I think this summer is going to be weird with gas. I've always said part of how to keep the country complacent, make my 401k steady or going up and make my gas prices steady or going down. And then the bulk of this country they'll be satisfied. I'm not losing a bunch of money in my retirement fund. My gas prices are manageable. You know, I've got a good middle-class job, so it's just everything's kind of static. When you start seeing gas prices that start getting out of line, that's when people start waking up. You know, I remember years ago when I learned that more people voted for the final contestant on the American Idol than voted for the president that year. I was like, oh, that's perfect. That's our country in a nutshell. I'm sure it's worse now. You know,
president sang and danced, maybe I'd be more interested in what they have to say.
Well, which is a good idea. I mean, I think they should all have to have some sort of a talent contest.
They
should do something. So, yeah, I mean, and I won't bring up the Masked Singer this week because I just don't need to hear it from anybody. But I'll tell you what, that's our country. So, you know, what's going to wake up this country? It's not the Restrict Act, which I've kind of told you, you need to look into that. It just seems odd. The Restrict Act is a thing. And then, you know, the following week, I learned about all these Pentagon leaks. It's like, holy cow. Our country we're 1 second away from weirdness in this country. But
wasn't the Restrict Act, I mean, before we get off topic, because it was supposed to be made essentially to ban TikTok, but isn't this kind of like another Patriot Act kind of thing where there's a lot of hidden stuff to kind of take away from?
Yes.
Liberty?
Yes, and it's all going to work together. ESG, everything that we sound alarms about are going to work together. They're all going to affect your finances. You know, the bottom line, you know, we have all these alarms to sound. I mean, who cares about the Restrict Act? I referenced the Inflation Reduction Act. How's that working? I guess today the numbers were down. I guess we're only at 5% inflation. Who's tracking that? You know, I paid $50 for a pizza recently. Did I mention that in the tip jar? I mean, who's tracking inflation? How are they really gauging it? You know, they take out food and energy. Okay. So anyway, So the Restrict Act is another Patriot Act. And that didn't go well for people that like small government and personal freedoms and stuff that this country was founded on. So good luck with the Restrict Act. You know, TikTok, when you take away TikTok, maybe then the country will wake up and say, whoa, why are you taking away my videos? You know, will that wake people up? I don't know. Whatever caveat it is to wake people up, good, bring it on. You know, another thing to look into, if you just want stuff to look into and see how weird everything is together, look up COP26. So it's the Conference of Parties. It's through the UN. So this November, it'll be in Dubai. It's actually COP28, but you find a lot more information on 26. So this is going to further, you know, it's going to further our energy independence demise at a time where I would say we really need help. We need to refill the strategic oil reserve. If anybody in the government is listening to this little tiny show, fill the reserves in case we have a problem in this country. You know, everything, ESG, all this stuff, everything that I read, see, and hear is hurting the American people. If you have $5 million or more, you're probably not going to be affected too bad by the stuff going on. If you have nothing, you're going to be okay. If you're in the middle class, hang on, because changes are a-coming. And let's say I'm wrong. Let's say everything I'm worried about is wrong. The inflation keeps going down. You know, the debt gets handled. We start spending wisely and we manage the $31 trillion in debt. The banks stop closing their doors. There's no CBDC. You can continue to go to garage sales and give your child $5 on Easter. Everything's okay. You know what we still have to deal with? Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, healthcare. We have to deal with mental illness, the education system. We have a lot of fish to fry. But when I keep it financial, I'm more worried about ESG and COP and COPD. Yeah.
And the debt ceiling. I can't say that enough times in this show, the fact that it's not being brought up more often. The fact that we're the biggest, strongest country in the world and we're about to default on our bills is just absolutely mind-boggling to me.
Are we still giving money? Last week, I brought up the fact that, you know, quietly we gave another, what was it, $2.6 billion to Ukraine. It's shocking. I don't think people can believe it. They think I'm making it up. We're actually giving money to Ukraine for their pensions and to keep their government's lights on while ours is about to close. I mean,
yeah,
possibly.
What did you say the new Social Security numbers is we're going broke in 2032 now?
I've read 35, 34, 33, 32. I can tell you right now, none of those are concrete because they have no idea. I was at a McDonald's. Sorry, doctor, to my healthcare provider. I was at a McDonald's. And by the way, I had to have a quick lunch because I was in between appointments. I had two cheeseburgers and an order of French fries. When did that become $10? I feel like Rip Van Winkle. Before I fell asleep, like before COVID, hamburgers, you know, were like, I don't know, 89 cents. Cheeseburgers were like $1.29. Fries were like $1.69. The cheeseburgers, this was their deal. Two cheeseburgers were $4.98. And I complained about it when I got in the office and you were like, yeah, $2.50 for a hamburger. Well, it's a teeny tiny hamburger. When I was growing up, I would have called it a slider. Oh, I wish there was a White Castle here. Isn't there in Tempe or somewhere? So, and yeah, the French fries, medium French fries. I didn't get the large because, you know, I don't want to be unhealthful. So I got the medium, $3.69 for a medium French fry. Anyway, my observation about McDonald's, there's two kiosks. There was only one person behind the counter at this particular McDonald's. So these kiosks, you know, there's a big controversy now about artificial intelligence. That's a version of it. Why do we need employees if we can have a machine, you know, that can take your order, a machine that can make your burger for $2.50 for a tiny little cheeseburger? The problem in my eyes of self-checkout and self ordering McDonald's kiosks. They don't pay into Social Security. So let's say this machine is $30,000. The employer has that outlay, you know, up front, but then they don't have to pay wages. They don't have to pay into unemployment, Social Security, workers' comp. So it becomes inexpensive. But I am almost 60. I was supposed to get to 62 and be able to turn on Social Security, 67 or whatever it is, and get my full retirement age, 70, and max it out. Ooh, makes me angry. I wish I lived in France. You know, they're changing the age from what, 62 to 64. Those people are rioting in the streets. And by the way, you know what? Forget you. I almost said a bad word, but forget you, France. You know, they just agreed to get rid of the US dollar. You know, France, you have your own problems. Worry about yourself. But they're going to stop trading with the US dollar. So, you know, when you were in Ireland, somebody said to you, they're not worried about the currency here because we're still the strongest on the planet in the United States. Yeah, you're right. You know, you're right. I've heard it put different ways. We're the cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry. You know, we're the least stinky garbage in the garbage dump. You know, well, I think your friend was right until about a month ago, because reading how fast these countries are ditching the dollar, it is alarming. We have so much to deal with. You know, if we make it through the Fed now and the digital currency and the stock market and all this stuff, you know, we do have to get to the fact that our dollar is going to be less, you know, a global currency. It won't happen overnight. I'm not saying you're going to wake up one morning and they're going to say there's no such thing as a dollar. Well, other than our government taking it away. So, you know, when you give me 10 things to worry about, this is just psychology 101. You know, we say it in terms of financial plans. If you and I put together a really, really good financial plan and we put together 10 of them for a potential client to pick one, they won't pick one. If we give them three through a process of elimination, they will pick one. If you give me all these things to worry about, I'm not going to be able to focus. It's too overwhelming. And you know what? You know why I won't pick one to worry about? Because I don't want to make a mistake. What if I pick the wrong one? You know, when you look at the dollar going away, you also, at the same time, we're talking about school shootings and now a bank shooting, a previous employee at a bank. You know, we have all these things that come into our face that we have to worry about. So I'm breathing now. Anthony, interject. Save me here.
I was going to say, you don't pick one thing to worry about because you want to be worried about all 10. You have the luxury of being worried about all 10.
That's me. I'm talking about normal people. I'm talking about regular people.
Our listeners, or some of them, also want to be angry. There's a part of you that wants to be upset about all of this. And there's I know there's people out there listening too. It's just like, I can't deal with all the negativity. Well, I got good news for you. Over here at Rochford and Associates, where you can find us at anothermoneyshow.com or rochfordfinancial.com. Our planning, good financial planning is good financial planning. We're spending all this time warning you about all these catastrophes that could potentially happen, because it's a real good chance that they could potentially happen. But just like, you know, JR's off his rocker all the time and I'm cool, calm, and collective, that's because we're preparing. We're ahead of the curve. You know, good financial plans, good financial planning. If everything collapses tomorrow, I don't worry, because I've set up myself financially where it doesn't really affect me. And if anything, I can capitalize on it. If the market continues to go up for the next 100 years, I've put myself in a position where I can capitalize on that too and enjoy myself. Proactive, not reactive. That's all we're really asking. If none of this stuff comes to fruition, which I think it will. I mean, the digital currency, it's coming. People ask about that all the time. You got to understand, currency in general has a timeline. Like, this is just kind of butting up against the digital age right now. But otherwise, the dollar was going away. There was no way around that. Historically, you've got between 80 and 120 years for a currency to last. The dollar it's gone. I mean, what are they saying? It's lost 96% of its value since it was created. Yeah, it's time for something else to take its place. But the digital currency, the concern really is the control. That's the issue. The social scores and, you know, being locked out of your account because they don't like what you're purchasing, you know, not being able to hide under the radar with cash. That's the government overreach is really the concern. But the change in currency was something that was going to come regardless. But the moral of the story is, the whole point I think I was trying to make before I started rambling like JR is, if you don't have a plan and you just have investments, reach out to us. Let's put a plan together for you. Again, I have a plan. JR has a plan. That's why everything that we're trying to warn you about, it's for educational purposes, but I'm not worried because my plan will react accordingly in either circumstance. But JR just likes to be upset, so that's why we're
I'm here. A fan. I'm a fan.
You're so good at it, though, so I get it. Well,
yeah, I mean, I've practiced for almost 60 years. And first of all, I don't know if anybody noticed it, but when you said you were cool and collective, I think you meant cool and collected. Did you hear yourself say collective? I don't think you're collective. I think you're
collective. Well, I'm not good with words.
No. Well, you know English a lot of them.
Probably my worst language is English.
Right? And that's the only one you know, so it's very sad.
Yeah, so it's really...
It is calm, cool, and collective.
Yeah. Collective?
It's not just collected. It can be collective. What's the other word? I'll come up with it next week, but there is a word out there that people use a lot that actually is not a word and doesn't make sense, but collective you can use.
Nice. Ooh. And yeah, the moral of the story is... The moral of the story, I think you're getting at, use your turn signal. When I was going to Lou Malnati's, people in front of me didn't use their turn signal. When I was going to McDonald's, they didn't use their turn signal. Let's start being nice to each other. Let's start working together. Let's bring the country back.
If we recorded this show while I was driving, this would be a whole different Anthony. I am upset all of the time and just yelling for no reason. Anything that anybody does on the road, it pisses me off. I'm just so furious.
You're your mom. Yeah. Your mom's got driver's Tourette's. Your mom's horrible behind the wheel. Such a sweet lady until she's driving. But with that said, we are out of time. Please make sure you give us show ideas. Give us topics. Reach out to us, team@anothermoneyshow.com. Give us a call. Go old school and call us, 623-523-0444. And help us with something. Go on YouTube. Look up Another Money Show. Like, subscribe, share. We need to grow that bad boy. So help us out. We had fun as always. I'm glad Anthony's back. And we will
talk. Better show now that I'm back. You're welcome.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's amazing. I'll even listen to this one. This one's going to be incredible. Welcome back, Anthony. Thank you all for being here. We will talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Another Money Show. You deserve to work with a private wealth management firm that will strategically work to protect your hard-earned assets. To schedule your free, no-obligation consultation, visit anothermoneyshow.com. Investment advisory services offered through Brookstone Capital Management, LLC, BCM, a registered investment advisor. BCM and Rochford Financial are independent of each other. Insurance products and services are not offered through BCM, but are offered and sold through individually licensed and appointed agents. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Past performance cannot be used as an indicator to determine future results. Are you concerned about market volatility, rising taxes, economic uncertainty, and how it could all affect your future in retirement? Then tune into Another Money Show to learn how you can protect and grow your hard-earned money. Another Money Show, every Saturday at noon, right here on 960 The Patriot. Protect your hard-earned money today and learn more at anothermoneyshow.com.
Do you want to be a jet setter in retirement? Keep an eye on how much you're spending. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. Pretty much everyone loves saving money, but that doesn't mean you can't pack your bags and see the world this year. There are some simple steps you can take to reduce costs while still checking off your travel wish list. One thing to consider, traveling during the off-season. Peak season will always be more crowded and more expensive. So take that trip to the beach in the early fall when the weather is still warm, but the kids are back in school. While the timing of your trip is important, so is when you book. Mark with popular travel-focused YouTube channel Walter's World says you should book as far in advance as possible.
I know, for example, in Germany, if you pre-book your tickets on the train, it's a significant discount than if you buy it the same day. So make sure you use that advantage of doing things beforehand, whether it's a hotel room or it's tickets to a show or it's tickets to transportation, it can make a big difference. So use those discounts you can get by booking early.
Also, look for deals on flights and hotels through discount sites. Consider booking a rental home or apartment instead of a hotel, and think about taking public transit instead of a cab or rideshare. So, have you considered all the ways to cut your travel costs this year? It's a key question to consider, and it's one of the 23 retirement cost cutters for 2023. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.
At Rochford & Associates, we know you've worked hard to earn your money, and you've worked even harder to save it. When it comes to wealth management and planning for retirement, J.R. Rochford and his team of specialists have been helping individuals, families, and business owners find financial freedom at their veteran-owned firm for more than 25 years. Give us a call now at 623-523-0444. That's 623-523-0444.
Registered investment advisors and investment advisor representatives act as fiduciaries for all of our investment management clients. We have an obligation to act in the best interests of our clients and to make full disclosures of any conflicts of interest, if any exist. Refer to our firm brochure, the ADV 2A, page 4, for additional information. Any comments regarding safe and secure products and guaranteed income streams refer only to fixed insurance products. They do not refer in any way to securities or investment advisory products. Fixed insurance and annuity product guarantees are subject to the claims-paying ability of the issuing company and are not offered by BWA.